For many years, the British have had a love affair with owning their own property. Renting is seen as a waste of money, and most people aspire to buy, even if it means being mortgaged to the hilt. But is this really healthy for both individuals and the economy of the country as a whole? Chris Gilchrist, co-founder of the Money Challenge, believes it's very unhealthy.
It gets people hooked on spending a large fraction of their disposable income on their mortgage repayments. And nowadays, that's a bigger percentage of their net income than if they were renting. So they're committing a larger fraction of their income to something that's actually not productive. It's not productive for them personally. It's not productive for the economy either. So it's dead money, basically.
So why do you think it is that we've got into this sim? Because everyone seems to think that the best thing to do is to have your own property. So why is that?
I think it started in the 1970s. Before then, it really wasn't. We didn't have this national obsession. And if you talk to people who can remember the 30s, people then rented. They just moved around the country and rented in the same way that people in Germany and France typically still think of, you know, renting as the way to live in terms of property. But I think the 70s changed things, and it was the inflation, and it was the social policies of the government at the time which basically killed off the rental sector. So it actually became harder and harder to find quality properties to rent. Yeah, the council still had council blocks, but they killed off the private rental market. So you had really no choice. You had to buy.
What then has been the impact of everyone running around desperately to buy property for the last 40 years?
UK residential property has consistently been overpriced relative to, let's say, a sensible rental property that you could get. People have generally paid more in mortgage interest than they would pay for an equivalent property that they would have rented. And that's mad. The only justification for doing that would be thinking that in the long run the property is going to be worth a lot more money and I've got this big capital gain sitting there I'm going to get at the end of the day. And that's the fiction that sustained it all. And of course, for people who've bought in the last few years, it's now a lie. They're going exactly the opposite way. They're losing money.
On the other hand, there are plenty of people who did buy property, you know, for $50,000, it's now worth $200,000. So surely it's not a complete lie, is it? Because it has been happening.
That has happened. But of course, when people say that, you know, I bought my property for $50,000, it's now worth $200,000. You've also got to bear in mind the amount of their net income that they put into their mortgage repayments over the years that they didn't have available to spend on other things, educating their children, having better holidays, acquiring art, going on courses. You look at the Germans or the French, they're living in city centres, they're living in apartments. The only time they'll buy a property is when they retire. And then they'll buy a little plot of land somewhere in the country and build their own house. That strikes me as just an incredibly sensible way to do it. And on the walls in their apartment, they'll have art. They'll have extraordinarily nice furniture. They'll have real quality items that they're eating off. That's where their money's going. Now, that strikes me as really rather nice.
Is it more than just nicer, but is that actually much better for the economy? Because you referred to the money that's tied up in your house as dead money, dead for you and dead for the economy.
Yes, the bricks and mortar, because after all, at the end of the day, a home is somewhere to live, and it's primarily somewhere to live. We've turned it into an investment, but that is really not the way that most people have thought about property over the years. And I would argue that actually the Americans, even though they mostly own their homes, don't think of them investments in the same way as we do. It's just that land is cheap in America, and it's incredibly easy to get someone to build you the most beautiful home in the world that you want if you've got the money. But that's what they think, you know. It's really nice to have this great big ranch-style home. But they don't imagine, or they didn't until very recently, that they were going to make a whole load of money out of it.
And do you think now we've reached the current situation where actually, you know, people are going back into negative equity, house prices are going down and those kind of things, that it'll change? Or are we just going to scrabble again once the economy picks up and house prices start to increase again?
Well, sadly, I think the same roundabout's going to start all over again, because the only thing that's going to change it is a complete radical rethink of government policies. You've actually got to create an affordable rental sector that caters for the vast mass of the population. Instead of saying, well, the only real rental sector that's there supported by the state is for teenage pregnant mums on council estates. I mean, that is just such a wrong way of designing a functioning property market. So you need a complete change in a set of government policies. And the most obvious thing that's really messing up the English property market is that you can't build a house anywhere in the countryside. Which is crazy. Look at the Germans. I mean, they're very happy for people to buy a little plot of land in the Bavarian forest and build a house. What is wrong with that?
You could argue that what's wrong with that is you don't want to have, you know, urban sprawl. You don't want houses all over our forests and so on. You know, I'd kind of like to protect the forests.
So would I, but I would much rather people were building little houses in the Bavarian forest than that the national house builders were buying 12, 15, 20 acres of land on the edge of the Greenbelt and putting up another eyesore of estates that are all the same. And socially, I think that's bad. You end up with ghettos, you end up with self-selected groups of people living in identical communities. You don't get diversity. If people choose where they want to live and say, I want to go and live somewhere in the Bavarian forest, you end up with social diversity. You end up with a far more interesting social mix because people are choosing it for themselves. They're not being driven into these ghettos.
So if property isn't the great investment that we all think it is, then what would be a better investment? Because I like the idea that actually I'm going to make my money work for me.
Well, ultimately, the things that make money, that create wealth, are businesses. That's really the only thing we've got that creates wealth. So how do you invest in businesses? Well, you set your own business up, as an awful lot of people do. You work self-employed. The other way is you invest in the stock market. To a certain extent, then you are contributing to the generation of wealth by, obviously, bigger companies engaged in much bigger scale enterprise things like BP and Shell and GlaxoSmithKline and whoever. Actually, on the long term, that has consistently proved far more rewarding than investing in property, if you actually work it out.
That's Chris Gilchrist.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth, and business experts when it suits you. This service is free. Register now at passionfortheplanet.com.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.